Yeah, the big fires are out. It seems weird to say that in the last week of the year, but it was only last month that a monster fire burned most of Paradise, California down. There is a future, but it will not arrive today, not all at once. Communities heavily damaged by fire and other disasters are encouraged to set up long-term recovery groups, and that is exactly what is happening now in Redding. The Carr Fire and the later, less destructive Delta Fire burned homes and other structures and generally caused a lot of misery last summer. So the long-term recovery group NorCal CRT for Community Recovery Team is getting up to speed on the recovery from fire. We have two guests with us from that team. Kelly Carancy is with the Shasta Regional Community Foundation. Kelly, thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
And we also have with us Captain Timothy Danielson from the Salvation Army in Redding. Captain Danielson, welcome to you.
Morning.
So, Kelly, give us a sketch, if you would, off the top. I mean, about the scope of the issue that the long-term recovery group has to deal with between the Carr and the Delta fires.
Sure. So, as we all know, the fires were extremely destructive, and with over 1,100 homes lost, that's a lot of recovery for our community as a whole. So with this long-term recovery group, we'll be looking to help those who are underinsured or perhaps not insured at all to help them recover, made whole, and get this community back on its feet.
Any idea how many people are either underinsured or not insured at all?
We believe that should be about 300 homes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it doesn't seem like a huge figure, but, I mean, that's a lot of people still. That's a lot of lives.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And Captain Timothy Danielson, tell us a bit about what the Salvation Army has been doing so far. I mean, I imagine you've been doing some activities long before the formation of the long-term recovery group.
Yeah, the Salvation Army locally is a part of the VOAD, which is the Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster, which kind of sat down. It's a group of a bunch of different agencies along with local law enforcement and fire. And we were kind of preparing for a worst-case scenario. And so that kind of helped in a lot of ways with the situation, even though we didn't want it to happen. The Salvation Army, during the fire, before the fire and after the fire, has dealt disaster services quite a bit. So when the fire came or broke out, we were serving meals, helping folks find stuff, things to wear, brand new clothes, bedding, things like that to start to at least immediately rebuild what we could. After that, the Salvation Army has continued to do things like gift cards, helping people put power poles back on their property. There's a long slew of things, getting furniture for some folks, but it looks different for each family that comes in.
You mentioned the VOAD, the Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. Does that normally, from anyone's experience, lead straight to the formation of I'm going to get an alphabet soup here, but an LTRG, a long-term recovery group?
Yes, it actually does. As a matter of fact, the bylaws and everything, a sample actually comes from our national VOAD.
So basically there's a template that there to follow?
Yeah, it explains what exactly our group, the long-term recovery group, also known as the CRT, the Community Recovery Team. It explains what it is that is our mission, and as Kerry shared earlier, it's to help rebuild, help those people recover so that we as a community can continue to move forward.
And Kelly, without a long-term recovery group in place, without NorCal CRT, I mean, what sort of prospects would the people you're trying to help, these 300 homes that are under or not insured, be facing?
A very difficult, challenging road, that's for sure. So the wonderful part of a long-term recovery group, and locally the NorCal CRT, really helps all of the agencies lock arms, come together, and provide just an easier access to all of the resources that are available in the community for these individuals, and also make sure there's no duplication of services. That's really important for donors and others alike.
How tricky can that part of it be, I wonder, because, you know, you get an outpouring of feeling after something like this happens, and people want to help, but they also want to make sure that their help is going to the right place.
Absolutely. You know, donors are becoming increasingly more sophisticated in their giving, and they're going to give, and they have given, where they either know or have a calling or desire to give to. So there was a huge outpouring immediately for physical items and things of that nature. And then for the long term, they've given to the Community Foundation, Salvation Army and other organizations to help in this next phase of recovery.
From any conversations either of you might have had with people who've been in other long-term recovery group efforts, is it difficult to keep people focused on a need that existed from a while ago when there are obviously newer needs? I mean, just in this very case, we're talking about the car fire in August, and then the campfire destroyed so much of Paradise 3 months later.
Yeah, I think it can. The conversations that I've had with folks in our area being Northern California, it takes a lot of focus on off of what we're trying to do sometimes when other things pop up. But our community is very resilient. Our group, as Carrie shared, locking arms and moving forward. The good thing is we're all on the same page, and that's helping us keep the narrative the same and share with people exactly what's needed to make sure the recovery happens.
We are talking about the long-term recovery group that has formed up to help victims of the Carr and Delta fires in the Redding area from last summer. Carrie Carancy is with the Shasta Regional Community Foundation. Captain Timothy Danielson is with the Salvation Army in Redding. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Questions or comments about the process, welcome here at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Carrie, I know dealing with a community foundation, you're used to things like grants and cooperation with other groups. I just wonder how the hoops of setting up a long-term recovery group compare to any of that.
You know, it is quite a bit different. Community Foundation is typically used to receiving donations and then granting those out to whatever need the donor intends. And a long-term recovery group is so much different. It's the coming together of different organizations, their different ideas, different processes, and trying to get everyone moving forward in the same direction and on the same path for the recovery. But what I love about our community is that they make it so easy. Everyone is very kind and willing to work together, because at the end of the day, we all know and understand what this is about, and this is getting our community back on its feet and these individuals back into homes.
You know, I must admit, once I saw LTRG, I was reminded of similar efforts in the region. And, of course, there was the Weed Long-Term Recovery Group after the Bowles fire earlier in the decade. And I guess I was looking yesterday, they had their last official public meeting about a year and a month ago or so in 2017. And I wonder if you were able to contact the folks at that long-term recovery project and gain any of the benefits of what they learned.
Well, you know, the wonderful thing about the Community Foundation is that we serve Shasta and Siskiyou counties, and so the Community Foundation was heavily involved in that long-term recovery group as well. So we had, obviously, interior knowledge of how things happened during the Bowles fire. However, I have to say that just the sheer volume and destruction compared to the Bowles fire was something totally unimaginable for the Redding area. And so certainly a lot of thoughts and procedures can carry over, but it's a different community and different things will be taking place.
On a very different scale, obviously, as you point out. So, yeah, 150 homes or so in Weed lost and several thousand in the greater Redding area lost. Timothy Danielson, lay out, if you would, some of the other groups involved in this long-term recovery group in NorCal CRT.
Yeah, we have quite a few partners. United Way is involved with what we're doing, United Way 211. FBCSS, which is Northern Valley Catholic Social Services and Catholic Charities, UMCOR, which is United Methodist Committee on Relief, or the Methodist Church, they're heavily involved with us. We have that First Five, Shasta, that's also involved with us at the table. Bethel Church has been phenomenal with Bethel Global Response, which is a national or international disaster group, and they're at the table with us also. Lions International is in the room with us. And I can't understate when I said United Way 211. 211 as a resource is massive for our area. And that's getting information in and getting information out to the public.
And Carrie Carancy, the status of the people who have been harmed by the Carr and Delta fires. I mean, the homes obviously haven't been rebuilt yet. We've seen more recently with the campfire in Paradise, just how long it takes to get people back into the neighborhoods because they have to clean out a lot of the hazardous materials and that sort of thing. Where are the victims of the car fire and the Delta fire now? I mean, I imagine they're past the point of staying in hotels or motels, but I don't know that to be a fact.
You know, Captain Tim actually is probably better equipped to answer that question than I am.
Okay.
So the folks who've been affected most by car Delta are kind of spread out over a span. There are some that are still in hotels and motels. Not very many, but there are some. There are quite a few who are living with relatives or friends. There are some folks who've been able to find temporary housing. And then there are some folks that are already back on their property in either a fifth wheel or a tent. But we were just made aware of a few days ago that are sleeping actually in somebody's shed up on a property in the area of car fire. So they're kind of spread out, and that can create one of the difficulties, which is trying to track them all down. In that case, Northern Valley Catholic Social Services with Cal Hope have been great about reaching out so that we can find the folks that are out there and start making contact with them as the CRT.
And have there been any particular issues with local authorities about being able to park a fifth wheel trailer on a property where there was a house and isn't at the moment?
I think the issues that the county and the city have is to make sure people are safe. We haven't heard of any huge issues. I mean, people, of course, are anxious to get back onto their property and anxious to live where their home was and is. And so for us, we haven't noticed anything in the way of there being too much of a problem. There are some conversations about too much dirt being removed from areas, but that's not the city or the county really that was caused by. But short of that, we've had nothing but a really good response from the city and the county locally.
Carrie Carancy, I noticed that one of the steps in setting up a long-term recovery group like NorCal CRT, and again, that's for a community recovery team for the car and Delta fires, one of the steps in setting up a long-term recovery group is coming up with a mission statement. Has that been crafted as yet?
Yes, we have. So our mission is to provide recovery services to the individuals and family affected by the fires, CAR and Delta, in our community. And the goal is to make sure that all of our fellow residents fully recover from this disaster.
And as you lay out the mission statement, is there also a timeline laid out for the work of the LTRG and when it might be able to sunset? And as with the Bowles Fire LTRG, pretty much go out of business because the job is more or less done, or at least on the way to being done.
Sure. So, you know, there's a lot of work happening right now behind the scenes. The construction committee is preparing so that when spring comes, when it's building season, they can hit the ground running. So there's a lot of work being done in that regard, a lot of work being done with case management. And Captain Tim mentioned Cal Hope. Their work on the ground has been invaluable. And so things are in motion right now, and I think they'll become a lot more evident physically in the next few months as the spring arrives and the building can actually begin. And then I think, you know, this process will take as long as it's needed and as long as the community needs our assistance in the recovery, and we'll see how long that takes us. I know it took Bowles Fire about 3 years to kind of declare themselves officially recovered with the scope and volume of this fire. I imagine it's going to take a little bit longer, but you never know. We'll just have to see how that goes. We certainly aren't boxing ourselves into a certain timeline in that regard.
Not just scope and volume, but the fact that you don't operate in a vacuum. I mean, the car fire and the Delta fire, obviously in Shasta County, but not far away in Butte County, you had the gigantic campfire as well. And this would get down to issues like you're talking about for the building season next spring. And I wonder what kind of analysis, if any, exists at the moment about the ability of these two areas not far from each other to come up with enough construction workers and materials to get all these homes rebuilt.
You know, I think that's a valid concern right now. Certainly making sure that there's skilled workers available and in town and qualified and licensed, of course, to be able to do the work. I know that the construction committee with the community recovery team is working very hard to build those resources and build the people capacity to make sure we can make that happen. But I know that will become a challenge for us.
We're talking again with Carrie Caransey from the Shasta Regional Community Foundation and Captain Timothy Danielson from the Salvation Army about the long-term recovery group forming for the Carr and Delta fires in the Redding area. Captain Tim, what have you had many meetings so far?
Yes, there are some weeks where it feels like we meet quite a few times.
And how wieldy a process or unwieldy has that proven to be so far?
You know, really good. A lot of it comes down to a really strong community, really good partners with the college. Shasta College has given us their PIO for this. Peter Griggs, who's phenomenal, who keeps us all on message, which is kind of hard with all of us messaging different things in our own organizations. But he's done a phenomenal job. Carrie Francie with the foundation and Katie Swartz, who's our secretary. We just have some really good people and really good agencies, and everybody's coming around. And with all the meetings that we have, we all seem to be moving in the same direction, which it can sometimes be difficult. In this case, it's not. So we're just really appreciative.
And just again, so people understand the scope of what goes on with the long-term recovery group, this is essentially the post-FEMA kind of effort, isn't it, to make sure that once the immediate disaster is under control, that we begin to look to the future into the rebuilding?
Yes, that's correct, to make sure the whole area recovers.
And how daunting does the job appear, and has the perspective changed somewhat, for example, since last month with the campfire sweeping through Paradise?
At first, in November, when we were going through the campfire, it seemed like it was going to be a little bit more problematic, only because some of us agencies are involved that are also in that area. But again, with a really good group and a really good messaging, our focus seems to be staying on Carr, which is a good thing, and focusing on making sure that we recover and restore that area of Shasta County.
And Carrie Caransey, as you work through this this process, you mentioned the Bowles fire 3-4 years or so. Are there periodic reviews of progress? I mean, I have to believe that with some of the meetings that happened, that you're taking a look every so often and going, okay, this needs to come up a little faster, or this is doing fine. Do you have assessments like that planned?
I don't know if they're formally planned, but we're certainly going off of what we learned and what we experienced to say, okay, about now is when we might be experiencing one thing or another. But the difference with the Bowles fire is there FEMA was not involved, and there were other instances and other resources that were not involved due to the smaller scope, and so it's a little bit more challenging to compare and contrast, but we're certainly using that as a guide and knowing where what pitfalls perhaps to step around and other opportunities.
I was asking for the names earlier of the other organizations. I mean, can you give us a rough number how many people and organizations total are involved in this long-term recovery group?
I would have to say 30 to 40 individuals from all sorts of different organizations. It's a huge community effort with everyone coming together, and it's just phenomenal to see the support from everyone for the recovery of our community.
And is there a place to go for people to learn how to either get or give help?
You bet. So if you go to norcalcrt.org, you can either get help, or you can help others, or you can get more information about the NorCal CRT as well.
All right, we'll make sure we link to that before the day is out. Carrie Caransky from Shasta Regional Community Foundation, Timothy Danielson from the Salvation Army in Redding, parts of the NorCal CRT. Thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you so much.